Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome. I am your host today on Dr. Michelle Live. 573-4BREAD-4 is our phone number. You're certainly welcome to call in and join the conversation or text me. DM live at breadboxmedia.com is my email address, and you can certainly call me at any time. I'm having kind of a Captain Kirk type voice, an original Captain Kirk this morning. It's like every word kind of stops with this very long pause. All right, so we've been talking about shame, and we've been talking about how to overcome these things, and what can we do, and how do we get right? How do we get on these warrior shoes, so to speak? How do we tap into that? Some of us are warrior by nature. Some of us are not warrior by nature. But no matter what, we are all children, and we are all transforming. We are all in transition. I had someone say to me not too long ago, boy, it sounds like you're in transition, as if that was some kind of an issue or a problem. And I said, yeah, I am. And then I realized, well, I'm always in transition. And isn't that what we're going to find out about when we get to the Pentecost and what we just realized and saw again and again and again, the resurrection and all these transmutations and these transformations. And if a rattlesnake, of which we now have warnings and many, and we ran across one yesterday, if a rattlesnake can shed its skin, and lots of things shed and molt and shed and molt, why? Why do we shed our skin? We do it because we need new skin. We need new skin. Now, when a snake sheds its skin, it doesn't become a bird. A caterpillar becomes a butterfly. That's one of the few times in nature that the DNA actually changes. Well, you know what? It's like that was a big deal. That's the only thing in nature. We're finding it's not the only thing in nature. You are not that changes its DNA. You are not condemned to your DNA. There are certain things that have occurred. Yes, you are a certain height. You have a family. You kind of see the family resemblance. We talk about things running in the family. That can be true. But there's lots of things that help modify genetics over time, either for something that could cause a shorter lifespan or maybe some mental problems or physical problems, and then all the way back to the strengths. I mean, you have in you your genetics. We tend to look at our genetics, the weak links of our genetics. Let's test for the weak links of our genetics. And so we know. I'm not downing that. I'm going to be talking today about addiction, actually, and about why I like addicts, why I like addictions. What's good about it? Because there's something good about it, and I'm going to share with you. And Pope Francis, I'm going to share you something with Pope Francis too, talking about the very same thing, only maybe in just a little bit different words. So there's some really awesome things that we can learn. Because it's very biblical, the concept of addictions, the concept of breaking addiction, breaking your sin, breaking your error, breaking your desire for money, your quote addiction to money, your addiction to your family, your addiction to your, and again, I'm using that modern word. But I want to bring it back to the same breaking. That's why it was so important for Christ to keep telling people to break your habits, break your old ways. The women with too many husbands, break that chain. The bondage, break that chain. Your blindness, break that chain. Your inability to walk and do anything, just sitting doing your own thing constantly, just you're paralyzed. Break that chain. You're a tax collector and you don't like it, and all of a sudden you're seeing another way, but you don't know how to go about it. And you don't like your job because you see something more beautiful, more different in front of you. See how it's eroding away at you. Break it. Break it, break it, break it. Shed it, shed it, shed it. Be it old skin. Make it go away. Let the dead bury their dead. Now, how do we do that? And when you're shamed, as we talked about last week for a few days, the shame is the second stage of death, of personal death. It's the second stage. The first stage is being shamed. Having someone, something, someplace harm you internally so bad that it wounds you with a deep, dark wound inside, a defective wound. I am defective. I am bad. I am worse than worse. I am disgusting. I am a cockroach. And I've heard people even use those words, not just in where I told you, in people in mental health hospitals who can't survive on the outside, at least at that point. I hear this from deacons. I've heard it from deacons. I am nothing more than a cockroach on this world. And so, and when I heard it from them, I was kind of behind them on that, thinking, well, yeah, we are really lowly compared to this amazing God. And yeah, we do sin and we really mess things up. Look how I mess things up. Well, it's a perfect thing to say to keep you stuck. And I'm not going to say that I didn't learn a lot from that, because we have to be humble as well. But I was really trying to pierce that veil last week of this, quote, being humble that only tends to dim your light, to dim your power, to dim the thing that God is asking of you. There are so many people out there who are active and cute and handsome, and they'll teach classes, and they're aerobics instructors, and they're martial arts people, and they've got great jobs, and they're just, you know, on the ball, and they can give lectures, and they can do all these things, and they can see things. They've been given the gift of sight. And they can see things in other people. They can see, they can kind of get an intuitive feeling, but they hide behind, oh, I'm humble and I can never say anything bad about anybody. They hide behind that to not speak the truth. And we're told, hey, if you see a sin, correct them, but correct them gently, correct them with love. Because if you be careful, because you might fall, but you can't let something, because you don't want to say something bad and you've been commanded not to, that is going to end up harming the person anyway. You have a good friend who's delving into pornography and it's getting worse and worse and worse and their whole family's falling apart. Well, maybe that might be a little linchpin, and you might need to ask them something about it. Well, maybe you might need to talk to somebody. Even just that. It's very, very difficult for us to go there. It's difficult for us to let go, because sometimes, again, what are we really doing? I love that term, humble brag, because that was like kind of a comedian's way of talking about how a celebrity will say, have two different shoes on because I was just so rushed having to go to my meeting with the big record studio or whatever. So it's like basically saying, you know, look how dumb I am, I wear two different shoes, but it's because I'm really so amazing. And that's what they're trying to get through. And we try not to be that. But it's like the reverse of that with the humility. Sometimes we hide around being pious and our humility and keeping our heads down. We don't let it out. We don't sing for joy when it's joyous, and we don't say what we see. It's very important to do this. So this whole program, I'm going to get into what's the upside of addiction? Why do I think there's an upside to it? Okay. And then also, I want to get into a little bit about the power that we have, the saints that we have that help protect us and guide us, and how on one second we can be filled with this and with the knowledge and the faith that we are really going to be able to fight any battle, and then somebody, raises their eyebrow in a parking lot or says, you know, or ignores you, and then you're deflated. How easy is that to change your day? Well, it's very, very easy. So I'm going to get into a lot of those things. What I would like to draw your attention to is in our readings yesterday, if you all went to Mass, or even if you didn't go to Mass, there were some beautiful readings. And we're preparing, of course, for the Pentecost, when that fire and that power came down. Instead of being walking among everyone as a human form, the Holy Spirit and all the gifts, which is power, comfort, it's all wisdom, all these things imparted. It's almost like you got that infusion of energy on that day for the rest of all mankind, and you have it in there. But it's preparation from that. But a lot of one thing that in the gospel, it's a very tiny gospel, but basically it still went back to being able to, I'm telling you what I'm telling you, so that when it happens, you're going to go, yep, he said that. And it's going to help prove it to you, knowing that we're human and we need proof. So sometimes we can be so in our novena clouds, as the one priest I know said, that we, and a true one, that we feel we really are getting that inspiration. And we can say, yes, I really get this now. But we can forget it in an instant. And so we have little reminders. Some of those are our anchors, such as our prayers and our saints. Some of them are people that come into our path that reaffirm out of nowhere little internal spiritual messages that we get day by day by day. So I'm going to get into that too. What about your spiritual messages? Are they real? And how do you know if you're actually getting one? So we will see you on the other side of the break. You're welcome to call 573-4-BREAD-4. See you on the other side of the break.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. You are with me on Dr. Michelle Live. We're walking this road together. 573-4-BREAD-4. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You can email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, any old time you want. And you can also text with that phone number that I just gave you. Okay, so why do I think there's an upside to addictions? Well, I will tell you why I think there's an upside to addictions. Because I have seen people in addictions so horrendous that when they really do reach the rockiest of rockiest bottoms, there's no place else to look but up. And they can't understand it, and they suffer and they writhe. Some of them, they get, you know, what they say is, I got delivered on a certain day. They remember it. Others, it's like it's something happens and they don't know exactly why, how, where, some little nudge over here, some little, not that they think, oh, I got to get better. Sometimes they wake up in a hospital, or they wake up with their face slashed. Some of them don't wake up, sadly. And when I'm talking about addictions, I'm not just talking about meth and heroin and alcohol and every other drug. Spice is awful. I mean, it's all awful. But it's like, if you've ever known anyone or seen anyone or watched their deterioration, of this thing, this weird thing, concoction that they cannot stop, and they want to stop kind of, but they really don't. And then all their judgment goes away and their fingers get all black and you just see it happening to them. Or a lot of people who had a long time with meth, they've lost their teeth, they've lost their life, they've lost time out in the world. Many of them been in prison. Many of them do things that end up causing the lives of their own children, or their children get taken away. And you think, on the one hand, well, that's them. And somehow in a judicial system, just like way back in those Judea days, the judicial system took care of people like that. They had the rules and the laws, and these people don't deserve this. They don't deserve that. They don't deserve whatever. And I watched them from the other side of the prison bars, or maybe inside the prison bars, not just watch them as if they're out there. I watch me, because I am in my own prison bars. You are in your own prison bars. Your addiction could be to serving others to the exclusion and the detriment of yourself, to serving your husband using the excuse of be subservient. I've had many a person crying in front of me, knowing that it is wrong on the one hand to do the things that they are being asked to do by their spouse on many different levels, but being thrown into the submit to your husband's verse, either through them by themselves or by their spouse, and they're confused. They're trying to get all the beautiful tenets of Christianity and self-sacrifice, all the beautiful tenets with the ultimate, which is marriage, and not just trying to, but seeing how it would fit into that so easily. Do things you don't want to do. Sacrifice your desires and your wants and your needs for someone else. You know, die for your brother. But that doesn't mean die yourself. Die. It doesn't mean erode. It doesn't mean kill God's creation by your own hand, without knowing it, because it's being held by someone else's hand. It's like someone else taking your hand and putting that knife in your gut and then turning it so that you slowly go. You don't want that part. And we can end up in that part thinking we're just being good Christians and good spouses. And sometimes that's not where God wants us. It really is not. I know this inside myself. And I know this because I have been given a situation in life that, hey, would I have really chosen exactly? No, I wouldn't have chosen when I look back. I'm not choosing this stuff. I did make the choices. It's that little conundrum. I did make the choices, but man, as they always said, I mean, I'm sure they said it thousands and thousands of years ago, if I would have known then what I would now, I would do things differently. But you're not supposed to do things differently, because people need to be on the earth where they are, not in a stagnant sense, but you need to be where you are. And as the world morphs and turns in this beautiful fireball of lights and love and God is, you know, we all are parts of Him. He's in all of us. And so no matter where we went wrong and what we did and who's not here now and who we accidentally ushered off the earth, or not so accidentally ushered off the earth, God will immediately take that and then make it still, you know, just imagine this constantly changing ball of energy and power and might. I was a little disconcerted. I'm getting off the subject, but that's okay. I'm saying yes, it's okay. Was in a church yesterday and singing the holy, holy, holy God of power and might. Well, the words have been changed, and it's holy, holy, holy Lord of Hosts. And it bothers me. Now, I'm not going to be so bothered that I'm going to make judgments. Our church is in where our church is. And sometimes I just want to face plant because I'm thinking, for me, my little pet peeve, I'm thinking, do you not get it here? You know, we're supposed to be bringing back unity, but if I can go down the block and I'm right ready to get in my voice with all the other voices and I'm singing my song and you just change two words on me, you wouldn't stand for that at an Aerosmith concert, or which is very old school, I know, but you wouldn't stand for that. You'd want your money back if all of a sudden, you know, the one guy goes off, decides to play a different riff than they rehearsed, and because they want the audience to sing with them, and you feel left out if all of a sudden Blake Shelton gets up there and singing a song that's been popular on the radio and changes the words and the tune. No, but somehow the church is thinking, whoever does the music, hey, that's fine with me. But I was thinking, why does it bother me so much? Well, it bothers me because of the incongruity with it all, you know, that all of a sudden now you have a member who isn't even a new member. I'm not walking into another country. I just went 10 blocks away because I missed the other mass, and I can't even sing the same song that we sing. So you change the words on me, and not significantly. It's not like we're singing a different song. It's still the same tune. You just mixed up the words. And then I thought, why else does it bother me? And maybe it's closer to the original. I don't know, but I'm used to the one. But, you know, Lord of Hosts, that's beautiful. But you know what? Honestly, that doesn't mean a lot to me. It means a lot if I think about it, but I can't get behind it in my words, because my words are, we're saying, God of power and might. Now, I need a God of power and might. Now, yeah, I need the Lord of Hosts, but I don't get what that means. What Lord of Hosts? What are we talking about? What's, you know, I mean, I do know, but yet it's not the same. When you're talking about the Lamb, the sins, the blessed is the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. It just gives you this beautiful picture, because, and you can get behind that. But, and when you're saying God of power and might, that's the God I'm saying now. Holy, holy, holy God of power and might. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. That's that. You can go Hosanna to the highest. You can get behind that because it's power and it's might. And we today need power and might. I need that in me. I need it to say I can change. I need it to say I can break my addictions. I need it to say I can break my old habits. I can get out of this crazy making situation that I've been in. I need a God of power and might. It's great I have a God of Lord of Hosts, but I can't grab on to the Lord of at this point. I need power and might to step in. I need Saint Michael the Archangel, who I know is there with a sword as a warrior, with the head, you know. I need to have that picture because I'm just a little kid in God's world. So why do I like addiction? Well, I don't like addiction. It kills people. And it hurts people. It kills families. It kills growing up. It kills girls. It kills boys. It kills the husband. It kills the wife. It's bad news. It kills the family. And then it has you have those other families that down the line in generations. And then we say, well, you know, wow, it's just that we have, you know, we're genetically predisposed. Well, yeah, you might be. But the point is, when are you going to break the chain? And when you see someone who's been in the throes of maybe it's they can keep their job and they're right on your block, or they're you and they're down in that basement, or after the kids go to bed and they're logging onto that porn and they don't think it's an addiction, and then time is going by and now little fights here and there, but nothing about porn. There's no problem here, no problem at all. It takes longer and longer and longer for the effects to show itself, and then the dots oftentimes aren't even connected, and the family has eroded. Now, what happens, though, is that when you see people who are coming back from the brink of disaster, they see it. They're living it. They are the examples of resurrection. They are the examples of take up your mat and sin no more. It is amazing, even though they're frail, broken, and oftentimes relapse is part of their course. We're going to get into this more on the other side of the break. I also want to tell you about St. Francis and prisons, and we will do all that on the other side of the break. This is Dr. Michelle.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. This is Dr. Michelle. I am your host, and you are with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. You can also email me, DM live at breadboxmedia.com. I love it when you email me. So those of you who have, thank you, and those of you who haven't, put it down on paper. Just, you know, what do you think? What's going on with you? Where are you in your walk? What are you worried about? What can't you seem to get over? What are you afraid of? We are always afraid of something. It's our fear. Even if it's fear of what hasn't happened and what we think will happen and what we have experienced in the past. So the fear of the past causes us to fear the future, and meanwhile, the present is spent in splitting ourselves down the middle and giving Michelle A over to fear of the, to deal with fear of the past, and Michelle B to be worrying about the fear of the future. And really, God is going, really? Are you really doing this? Excuse me. Hey, wake up. Here. I'm here. I'm right here. That's all you have. You don't have yesterday. You don't have tomorrow. You just don't. And we say it in cliche. We say it in Hallmark cards. We say it in books. Yesterday's gone, or yesterday's, well, I don't remember it, but one of you might. But it's like, but it hasn't happened. Yesterday is gone. It's past. You can't do it. It's but a memory. It's but a dream. And tomorrow is the same thing. Because as an amazing preacher said, I heard him say this yesterday, that somebody's out there right now, 16 years old, tuning up some radio or some something somewhere in the world, getting in a car and just, you know, feeling full of life. Great. They won't wake up tomorrow. They'll never hear that song again. They'll never put a car key in an ignition. This is the truth. We know this. It hurts. It scares me. It still scares me, even though I know it. And I know that's life. And it is life, and we have to go on. It's happened to my own family. But, you know, it still is a frightening, because we don't like the unknown. We want the known. And as a wonderful, beautiful, amazing, and I have no idea what happened to her, eating disorder patient once said to me, my fear of the known has become greater than the fear of the unknown. I'm leaving. And that stuck with me forever, because what she said right there, I have gotten to the point where I am imploding and killing myself with this eating disorder, because, and not seeing the abuse I am, the mental abuse I am living with daily. And now my eyes are opened, and I was afraid. How am I going to make a living out there? How am I going to support these three children? How am I going to say it to the person, the man who's been controlling me mentally for all these years, and who acts like he just is so caring and loving and worried about me, but every time I open my mouth, it's because I'm sick, because I have an eating disorder, and you know, honey, how you are. And yet you get worse. That person is saying, that's all you are. That's all you are. It's the same thing as if you were an addict. That's all you are. That's all you are. That's all you are. Well, only you can say, and only that person can say, no, that's not all I am. But that is all I will be if I, as this preacher said yesterday, worship the God of addiction. He made this beautiful distinction. He said, worshiping the God of addiction rather than worshiping the God of addicts. And that is beautiful, because this whole deal wasn't on addiction, but there were some people there that had known that had some trouble. And but the whole point of what he was talking about, which I just really said, hey, that's going right on my topic. This is awesome, because that's my confirmation that that's what I'm going to talk about tomorrow. What he was saying is that we are so convicted to and committed to who we are in our addiction that we worship the God of addiction, and we worship, and that addiction can be work, it can be porn, it could be piousness, it could be anything, but it is that which keeps us stuck. And then that day will come, because there is no time in the supernatural. Remember, the day will come when it will be your last time for turning in your car on, or your last time for logging into a radio, or your last opportunity to clean the house while I'm remembering my house. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, yeah, yep, I'm just totally, my whole life shows you I'm looking like, I know there's a tomorrow because I'm going to do my dishes tomorrow. So there has to be a tomorrow. So that's not the case. It just isn't the case. But his whole point was that there will be that moment where you're faced with what you did in all your bad choices. And then you, and then if you're still worshiping the God of addictions, the God that tells you you are only who you are, and that, you know, everything you're doing is okay, other people don't understand, and you're just supposed to do it this way because my parents did it this way, that will then say, well, ha, ha, ha. And then you get to have part two of your life, if it is your life here on earth. Part two is, I get to beat myself up now. So he's done. His job is done with you. You're stuck. And now you can beat yourself up about how stuck you are, because you could have done so much better, but you wasted all the time in addictions. Well, what I see, this is why I'm saying, what's the upside of addiction? Is that I'm looking at people. Now, there are many people who relapse after a year. There's like little honeymoon periods and windows. There are some people who have been sober or sober from whatever, alcohol, meth, porn, relationships, codependency, strong codependency that keeps them in damaging and unhealthy situations for 23, 24 years, and they relapse. But a relapse is only a relapse, lapsing. It's just a lapse. It's just like you can have that on your Skype connection, on my internet connection with you. I can have a little lapse in time, and we get a little thrown a kilter, and we have a little bit of a shakeup, but we can get back on track. But what I see is people who finally say, I could sit here all day and think about those 15 years I was in prison, and the child that I lost because of it, or the children I lost, or the ones that didn't make it, or the ones that are now addicted and in prison themselves. I could sit here all day long and wallow in that, sober or not sober, and use that as every excuse and every reason why I cannot go, I can't rise up. And some of these people, I have watched them, and they are living examples of redemption and resurrection, hope and faith and love. And many of them, and in many places when AA first started, it really had a faith base. Now they've taken some of that out in the regular medical world, but there are these pockets, and a lot of them attribute it to they could not do that without God. And you can call it your higher power, the universe. They could not do it without their God. They couldn't do it because they knew of myself, I can do nothing, and yet I am supposed to do everything because of myself, of this body and the breath and my brain working in little electronic firing and my blood pumping through me with all these greasy little, not greasy, but little, you know, slimy little organs and things like that. Of that little machine, I can do nothing. But with the power infused in me, that's why I want my God of power and might, because I need some of that power. I need, with that power infused in me, I can go. I'm the locomotive. I can go. I can break out of this trajectory. I can break out like an electron breaking out of its orbit. I can do it, but I can't do it just by myself. I need to have the force within and the force without, the truly the force within locomote me. if that's a word, locomote. I don't know, but I like it. It puts you in locomotion. All right. So, you know, this is very important to me because I need it for me. You need it for you. You need to be able to first, as I talked about shame, you got to name it. Don't blame it. Name it. And you can hurt from it, and you can see your resentment bubbling up, and you can see your anger. Don't feel, and don't stop there. Don't feel like you're like the most ridiculous person in the world, and you got to shut it up. You've been shut up long enough in your life. You need to let it out. You need to sing it out, and not just sing it out. As we talked about before, the praising the God, the real God, the holy, mighty, and the Lord of hosts, but the mighty, the powerful, the one who really can do everything. We have to sing to him. We have to praise him. That's our weapon. And somewhere in, I can't remember now. I just saw it yesterday, Ezekiel, I think, where they said that, you know, your song, your praise invites, and I think the Japanese put it in a way that you invite with your praise to him sets up a throne that invites on which to invite God to sit. And God will come in there and sit. And the other thing in Ezekiel was basically that, is that your praise calls him. He recognizes that. He comes in then, and he sits in your home. And he becomes king inside your home when you praise him. If you diminish him and make him weak and make him, you know, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, I'm so bad, and I know I can't get to you and all this. And he's trying to say, look, all the way late, are you not hearing everything my son said? Did you not just go through Easter? He said, wake up. You're not dead. You're only sleeping. Take up your mat and walk. Open your eyes. You're not blind. Listen, you have the power, Peter, to walk on the water. With a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. How else am I going to say this, people? You know? So anyway, this is Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break. 573-4-BRED.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. We are walking this road, this crazy wild ride. Mrs. Toad and her wild ride. You know, I look at life sometimes as a big old scavenger hunt with all kinds of little, there was an old ride in the original Disneyland. I think they still have it. I think it was, might have been Snow White. It might have been Peter Pan, but they all did this where, you know, you're going along in this little ship or you're flying through the air. And then as you're flying, you're looking, your eyes are somewhere, then something, it's like that, they just pop out at you, and then another one, and another one, and it's like, that's what life is, and your angels are all around you. They are all around you. They come from the most unlikely sources, but if they give you an affirmation, if somebody says something to you, and I'm telling you, I go through life like I'm batting away all these velvet curtains, and everyone's like telling me exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, as far as God goes, and I'm going, well, I don't hear anything. It's like, how much clearer does he have to get? Really, you hear the same thing over and over and over again, and from the most unlikely sources as well as the most likely sources, you start to think, you know, you mention to someone, they go, what's wrong with you? Can't you tell? Maybe you're getting a little message here. So what do we do with our messages? Well, first we have to believe in them. We need a powerful, mighty God in order to believe in that. We do a powerful, mighty belief. Think about a beautiful woman. All right. So you're going to go, and let's say it's a guy thinking of a beautiful woman, or you're thinking of a really, really, you know, hot guy, let's say, or whatever. Maybe that's not the appropriate term. But you don't just go, oh, blonde, yeah, she's blonde and beautiful, model woman. It's like, well, I don't want to see her. But if you go, oh, she's so really beautiful, this gorgeous blonde, tall, streaming hair. I mean, you can get by, you go, oh, I want to see a picture of this person. I want to see that. I want to, you know, little girls want to emulate that. Well, that's just a human example of our human development of what we should be feeling inside. That we can attain that. And so then what do? We're never going to be that girl, but little girls look at her and say, oh, I'll do my, why do you think we get fads? Why do you think people do their hair a certain way? Because somebody who's like over the top awesome is our leader, is our guide. We're looking to them for direction. And so that's, we need to put our eyes toward God for direction. He doesn't want you to be small. He just doesn't. If you're small, He's going to do great things for you anyway, like little tiny Mother Teresa, who really had a hard road to toe in many ways and through her darkness and her dearth and her emptiness. But, you know, this little tiny, 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 tiny thing is like looking at Bill Clinton saying, what are you crazy? Only in her only way. Why do you think you guys are in such a mess and you don't know you're in a mess? This same preacher yesterday said that Harriet Tubman, I think, you know what? I'm kind of losing it here. Did I just say this on my program? But Harriet Tubman said, when asked, how many slaves did you free in working with the Underground Railroad? And she said, I freed 1,000 slaves, but there were 1,000 more who didn't even know they were slaves. Or there were 1,000 more that could have been freed, but they didn't. I say I butcher everything. I never do jokes or a punchline of even anything philosophical and moving because I always mess it up. So let me start that again. Harriet Tubman, when asked, how many slaves did you free? She said, I freed 1,000 slaves, but I could have freed 1,000 more, only they didn't know they were slaves. So I hope I have time to read you. I was so great. I was reading in the Magnificat. And you know what? I tell you that Alfred Delp, the one who was executed on February 2nd, 1945 in Germany, he was a Jesuit priest condemned to death by the Nazis, and not in a concentration camp, it was trumped up. This is what he writes about The Advocate Comes. This was in the Magnificat for Monday the 2nd, tomorrow. Oh, you guys can read it. The Holy Spirit is the breath of creation. As in the beginning, the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, so now, but in much closer and more intuitive way. God's Spirit reaches the human heart, bringing us the capacity to grow to our fulfillment. That which makes us like Christ is the same indwelling Spirit, the principle of supernatural life in Him and in us, believing and hoping and loving. The heartbeats of the supernatural life are the created being's participation in the self-affirmation of God, which is expressed in the Holy Spirit. The created being must cry out to some power beyond itself in order to acquire its share of strength. When we realize and acknowledge that our natural powers on their own are inadequate, we have taken the first step toward salvation. We need the mission and the assignment God gives us, the permanent guidance and healing of God, if we are to meet the forces of destiny on equal terms. And as we are being limited in form and capacity by the set pattern to which we are created and do not exist by our own strength and power, so too our potentialities are a free gift and a grace. Humans have always tended to forget this ever since the beginning of time. They always tend to fall in love with their own estimate of themselves. We all proceed from one failure to another, and every collapse we come out with less substance and more wounds, all of us. When we are tired and tempted to give up instead of blaming fate and circumstances, we should ask ourselves whether we are living sufficiently close to God, whether we have called on Him earnestly enough. Do you get that? I mean, do you get that? Think about it. That's Alfred Delp, who died February 2nd, 1945, because he was put to death, executed on trumped up charges, his name was wiped out. His mother got just some effects without even putting his name to it. Nobody even knew he existed, and he's not even a saint. But he's saying the same thing that how many years later, you know, in the country, in the United States, I don't know, and I should look this up, when some guy from AA was basically saying this, only in a, now it's become AA. But it is, what do we hear? Of ourselves, we can do nothing. It's me, if I do things on my own terms. You know, grant me the serenity to accept what I can, the courage to know, and the courage to know the difference, to change what I can change. But to accept, you know, as, to say that of myself I can do nothing. Without him, I can do nothing. Because, and then when he says, look what we've done since the beginning of time, we fall in love with our own estimate of ourselves. You know, that's a pretty cool statement. And we all proceed from one failure to another, like the guy said last night to the people that were addicted. Well, so you've bowed to the god of addiction. How's that work for you? What are the fruits? What has it given you? What kind of life substance are you living from? Now, I don't have time probably to read the other thing, and it is also in tomorrow's evening reading in the Magnificat for May, so you can Google it, the Magnificat for May, Monday. I read to you for today's from Alfred Depp, Monday the 2nd of May, but also at the, I guess it is, at the very end, it's, Saint, it says saints who minister to the imprisoned, and we're all imprisoned. Let me see if I have time. I'm getting my time cue in just a minute here. So it's talking about Pope Francis. It says during his October 2015 visit to America, Pope Francis visited Curran Fromhold Correctional Facility in Philadelphia. As the white-robed pontiff moved among the inmates, clad in their institutional blue-gray, some rose for a blessing, others clutched the papal rosaries they had received, all looked on with gaze of wonder. Were not these men and women hardened criminals? What could be the source of their joy? Quote, I am here as pastor, but above all as a brother, unquote, Francis told them, to share your situation and to make it my own. All of us need to be cleansed, to be washed, all of us. Myself first and foremost, the Lord goes in search of us. To all of us, he stretches out a helping hand, unquote. Francis, the man in white, a rock star among world leaders, came to share his own deep need for mercy. One can imagine that given the chance, he too might have donned a smock of gray. The saints who ministered to the imprisoned came bearing food, binding wounds, preaching and baptizing, but they desired above all to share the unbounded mercy they themselves had known. They profess with certainty what Francis told the inmates, quote, let us look to Jesus who washes our feet. He is the way and the truth and the life. He comes to save us from the lie that says no one can change, unquote. Now I'm going to go back. Here's the little prayer first. Father of all, pour forth your mercy upon the captives, the slaves, and the prisoners who await death. Pour forth your mercy upon me. I'm going to go back to what did that woman say in that eating disorder place? I am now at the point where my fear of the known and what it is doing to me. And she meant locking herself in these prisons as a slave to this eating disorder, awaiting certain death. I'm more afraid of that than I am of the unknown. So, hey, let's listen to that. Put that on for a little while. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. It's everything to do with your mental health. This is Dr. Michelle. You've been with me on Dr. Michelle Live. Walk on this road together. Please email me, dmlive@redboxmedia.com.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.